17. Starting at verse 1, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her, and I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. This is God's word. It would probably be remiss of me if I did not mention something about Remembrance Day this morning. After all, we live so very close to a military base, and we have friends and former parishioners in this church who have been at that base. We recognize the sacrifice of these men and women as they continue to serve us. One of the things that military people have to do before they are able to become part of the Canadian military is they actually have to make an oath to our monarch, to Queen Elizabeth II. The oath goes like this. It says, I, and then you say your name, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Queen of Canada, her heirs and successors, according to the law, so help me God. There is an understanding in this commitment that is made that you are representing the head of state of our country. You're representing the Queen, the monarch of all of Canada. Because believe it or not, the Prime Minister is not our head of state. It's actually the Governor General who represents the Queen. She's our head of state. So this is what soldiers do. And they recognize that they will receive certain benefits as a result of being of serving the queen. They will receive, hopefully, as long as our government does good things for them, a solid pension and will be cared for if they get injured in war. They recognize that the queen has made commitments to them, and they too are to make commitments to the queen. And when we see this, we understand that this is a solemn oath that they are taking. They are offering their lives on behalf of their sovereign. And in the same way, Abraham and God are having a conversation here in Genesis 17, which is a solemn ceremony in which they recognize this kind of king and vassal sort of treaty that's going on. If you remember from Genesis 15, we see that that Abraham made a covenant. Abram at that point makes a covenant with God. And basically, he's basically signing the paperwork, if you will. Remember, they made some sacrifices, and there were sacrifices on each side. And as they made these sacrifices, they basically signed this treaty. I will serve you, O King of all the earth, God Almighty. But they had not really solidified this agreement. If you want to see Genesis 15 almost as an engagement, and then Genesis 17 is kind of the wedding. It's when God says, okay, this covenant that I'm making with you, this is for real now. This is going to happen. Abraham is willing to give himself entirely to his God. Just as a good soldier is willing to give himself entirely for his monarch, Abraham is ready and willing to give himself entirely for his God, but he is waiting further directions. And so as we open up this text, we see that God just simply begins to speak. And it seems that we have skipped, by the way, about 13 years. Notice that in verse 16 of chapter 16, it says Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And then we get to verse 1 of chapter 17 when Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him. So what we have here is a scene where God is appearing to Abraham, where he is ready to make promises with him, where Abraham is experiencing God, experiencing his promises and who he is. And this ceremony is very interesting because remember, if you remember last week, Abram made a huge mistake, didn't he? He made a massive error in judgment as he did not wait on God's promises but tried to fulfill them on his own. And as he tried to fulfill God's promises on his own, it turned into just a crazy thing at their house. It didn't turn out all that great to start off with. Eventually, Abram took responsibility for his poor decisions, but for a while there, it wasn't looking very good. And so God still, remember in Genesis, if you remember in Genesis 15, God was the only one to write down his name on the covenant, right? God said, I'm going to be faithful to this covenant whether or not you are, Abraham. I'm going to stick with you. And indeed, we see this in verse 1 of chapter 17, that God is still faithful to his covenant, even though we as the readers know that Abram has made a huge mistake. And that brings me great joy to know that God will show us mercy even when we make these incredibly massive errors. And God begins by speaking to Abram and saying this to him. He says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. This is basically, these first two verses are basically a preamble. They are just God saying, this is what we're going to do. I am going to be God Almighty. I am the one who is going to make sure that everything works out and you will walk before me. You will serve me, Abraham. He hasn't called him that yet, but his name will be, you will serve me. This is the opening agreement between the king and his vassal. And so God Almighty, this word here, is El Shaddai in Hebrew. It's one of the more common names used of God other than his covenant name, Yahweh. And one of the things that you see here is basically this idea of God being God Almighty is this, that God is the source of all fertility in life. If you remember back to Genesis 1, what do we see? We see God working and bringing life to all things, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and wants to bring his blessing to the entire cosmos. And we saw, as we went through the story of Genesis, over and over again, how that blessing was undermined time and time again. And God says, Abram, I'm going to make a partnership with you. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And together, we are going to bless the world. Through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And by the way, it's going to be through me. This term, God Almighty, means that God is the sovereign king of the world who grants and blesses and judges. His name is used in context in the Old Testament where God appears as the source of fertility and life. He is the one who is not only making these promises, but he is the one who is going to make sure that these promises are fulfilled. And what are these promises? There's three major kinds of promises here. One, that Abram will have lots of descendants. He is told that he will be the father of many nations. He is promised that he and his children will, after him, will receive a covenant. So not only will he receive children, but they also will receive a relationship with God, a partnership with God, through which they can bless the world. And not only this, but they not only will be a great people, but they will have a land through which they can flourish and grow and be fruitful and multiply. God promises that he will do this for Abram. And notice that he makes a change to his name. He's no longer called Abram, which means exalted father. He is called Abraham, which means father of many. And you have to understand that in the Old Testament, a name change is a change in destiny. So not only does Abram, who is the exalted father, who has one son at this point in time, God says, no. You're going to be a father of many. I'm going to make you a father of a multitude of nations. I am going to change your destiny. This is who you were. You were Abram. Now you're going to be Abraham, the father of many. This is exactly what God does for the believer when he comes into a relationship with him. We no longer take on our old way of life, but we are actually brought into a new relationship with God. We are given a change of destiny. The Bible tells us that we were once children of wrath, destined for destruction. But when Jesus saved us, he brought us into a change of destiny where we are now able to consider ourselves sons and daughters of God, children of Abraham by faith. Abraham was given an incredible opportunity to partner with God, to enter into this covenant relationship with him, and to experience his favor. But let's not pretend that it wasn't a bumpy road along the way, was it? Abraham, right through, as we've gone through the series, we've seen him in some incredibly great points where he's trusting God, where he's trusting that God has the best of intentions for him, where God wants to bless him. And then we see these moments where Abraham doesn't do that, where he doesn't trust that God has the best of intentions for him. It's kind of like when I was growing up. As a parent right now, I have kids who I am trying to create them into miniature adults, right? Hopefully, the end goal is, right, that they leave my house by 18, that they are gone and adults and doing wonderful things with their lives. That's the end goal, right? That's the hope. That's what you want for your kids. And in the same way, that's what my parents wanted for me. I had one friend who said, I can't believe that your parents had you doing laundry at like the age of 11. It was like, well, that was just sort of what we did around my house. It wanted me to be an adult. They wanted me to get out of the house as quickly as possible. They wanted me to grow and to be mature. And so even though doing laundry at the age of 11 does not feel like a blessing, as I stand before you today, it definitely felt like a blessing when I was in a college dorm room and it was like, you haven't done your laundry for how long? You might want to change that, right? There are people out there who don't know how to do their laundry. It's a scary world out there in the world of college dormitories. But all that said, right, in these moments where our faith is being stretched, as Abraham's was, it doesn't feel much like a blessing. But Abraham is beginning to realize that even in those moments where for 13 years it feels like God's promise hasn't really been fulfilled, that God continues to be ready to bless him, and that is his intention. It was his intention in Genesis chapter 1. It was his intention when he made his covenant with Noah, and it is his intention now to partner with Abraham and to bless him. And the Bible tells us as believers that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms through Jesus Christ. Do you believe this morning that God's intention is to bless you? Now, by that, I don't mean some prosperity gospel kind of preaching where God blesses you with a Lamborghini, although if you have one and you want to give it away, I'll gladly take it, right? But the reality is that that's not the kind of blessing that God is talking about necessarily. But we can know this, that each and every day of our lives will be lived under God's favor. Just as every day of Abraham's life was lived under God's favor, even though he made this incredible mistake in Genesis 16. God's covenant promise did not change. Maybe you feel like you've screwed up this morning. Maybe you feel like God doesn't necessarily want you around. And you should know that God's covenant promises towards you have not changed. His favor stays with us because he is God Almighty. And by his very character, he desires to bless us. But not only does God bless Abram and promise him all these things, he gives him a sign, kind of like a wedding ring, except this is a little more graphic, if you will. He uses the idea of circumcision. If you don't know what that is, ask your mom. it's pretty clear in the text what that is anyway. But basically, this sign was actually not all that uncommon in the ancient Near East. This was very common among a number of cultures, and like a wedding ring that you see in a ceremony, God is assuring Abraham of his promises. That basically he's saying, listen, this promise is going to go on and on. And he is very specific. He uses the term olam, which means this is going on indefinitely. This is going on for a long period of time. This is this translation says everlasting covenant. Everlasting probably isn't the word that I would use, but it's going on forever and ever. And so Abraham is given this covenant, not just for him, but for all his descendants after him. Like a wedding ring, God is assuring Abraham of his promises, that these are promises that he will keep. And for Abraham, this would serve as a reminder for the rest of his life that God would be with him. But that is not the only part of this covenant. Notice again what God said in verse 2. He says that I may make my covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly. In verse 1, rather, walk before me and be blameless. In other words, Abraham is to walk before God's face. If there was God's side of saying, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you fruitful, I'm going to multiply you, Abraham's side was, you need to walk with God. That's your side of the covenant. I'll bless you, I'll give you everything. You don't even have to do anything for it. It's coming your way anyway. My only request is that you walk with me and be in relationship with me. That's the requirement. And this is the opportunity that every believer has if you know Jesus Christ. Christians, this is something that is so very important for us because each of us are called in our Christian life to live what the old reformers called coram Deo, which means walking before the face of God. That each and every day of our lives, we are to experience the same blessing that Abraham experienced of walking before God and living blamelessly before him. And we have an incredible opportunity to do that because we have something that Abraham didn't have. We've been given the Holy Spirit to walk before God, to live in relationship with him, to walk before him and be blameless, just as Adam did in the Garden of Eden, just as Enoch did, we are told in Genesis 5, and he was no more, just as our Lord Jesus did on this earth as he was filled with the Holy Spirit and walked with God through his life. That is the opportunity that you and I have to live before the face of God. R.C. Sproul puts it this way. He says, to live coram Deo, to live before the face of God, is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory of God. Did you hear that? Living one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory
of God. You see, the covenant, the relationship, the partnership that God promises not just to Abraham, but to all his descendants after him, which includes believers who have trusted in Christ. The covenant that is promised before us is that we can walk with God and enjoy his presence and live before him, not just here on a Sunday morning as we are in his presence, but every day of the week as you are walking with your family, as you are doing your work, as you are going about your day, that you and I can live in the almighty presence of God.
One of the assignments that I have been doing for my classes at Briarcrest has been looking at a particular brand of Christianity. But in this brand, one of the things that they really, really emphasize is the reality that we need to be in deep and constant communion with God. That every day of our lives should be learning to focus on God. And one of the things that they encourage that believers to do is to simply pray a simple prayer over and over again. They say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Just a reminder, constantly reminding themselves of who they are before a holy God and remembering God's mercy on them. They want to walk in his presence. They want to experience him. And I think sometimes for us, it's so easy to just simply think that, well, my life is my life, and God's thing is his thing, and we don't really think of the opportunity to walk before him and partner with him. That's what a covenant is. It's just partnering with God and bringing his blessing to the world, not by our own ability, but by his ability. This is what was offered to Abraham. And it is what is offered to us as well. But we see also here that there is some changes, or not changes to the covenant, but some more clarity provided to the covenant that Abraham did not know before. For example, in verse 15, we see that God said to Abraham, but as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Remember, change in destiny. This barren woman who is known as Sarai, her name forevermore will be Sarah. The name means exactly the same thing, but the name change means that she will have a son. And he will have a son who is named Isaac, which means he laughs. The reason why he's called he laughs is because what is Abraham's immediate response when he hears the promise of God? He laughs in disbelief. And God says to him, you know what you should call your son? You should call him, he laughs. You know why? Because this laugh of disbelief that you've just given me, you're going to laugh at a pure joy when I fulfill my promise. Because guess what, Abraham? This is happening next year. Next year, when you're 100 years old, you're going to have a son. And if you think that people in the Bible didn't think that that was crazy, notice Abraham's response again, right? People in the Bible knew, who wrote the Bible knew, this was a crazy thing to say. And yet, this was the promise of God. Abraham asks about Ishmael, and God says, listen, he's not going to be the child of promise. He's not Isaac. Isaac is the one through whom my covenant will go. That's what he says in verse 21. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. But he does promise to Abraham that Ishmael will be blessed, that he will give birth to 12 princes, which we see later in the book of Genesis. And God promises that this same blessing, that a blessing that has been given to Abraham will be passed on to his son Ishmael. But he is not the son of promise. God's commitment to blessing Abraham was not stopped by his sin here. God continued to seek to bless Ishmael, even though it was a result of a poor decision by Abraham. But God promises Abraham that, you know what, not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to make you laugh. And I think that's really important for us to recognize, because Abraham here doesn't have a perfect faith, does he? He laughs. And I would have too. As much as like people might finger wag at Abraham, even though he laughs, I would have been like, you're absolutely crazy, God. But God doesn't expect a perfect faith.
He just expects a faith where we are willing to obey, and that's exactly what Abraham does at the end of this text. He fulfills all of God's commands. He says, what, everyone needs to be circumcised? Okay, boys, let's do it. I'm 99, so no one's got me beat. Let's figure this out here. His son gets circumcised. All his slaves and servants get circumcised. Abraham is obedient. Even though at the time when he's fulfilling this, he's not totally sure that this is going to work out. He laughed about the promise. He's kind of like, I don't know. But he lives in obedience. He walks before God. I don't know if you've ever come across things in the Bible that make you kind of go like, huh? And you kind of look at a few different verses and like try to make yourself wonder, does that really mean what it says? But to walk before God, to walk before God's face, to walk coram Deo, to walk blamelessly before him means to a certain degree, sometimes we have to obey God's commands even if we don't totally get them. There are certain things in the Bible that I frankly wish weren't there. There are. But that's my sinful nature. In order to walk blamelessly before God, sometimes you have to walk with him. It's just like our friends at the military base who are walking before their commanding officers right now. Right? What is a soldier commanded to do? They're commanded to do all kinds of things. And are they expected to say, I'm not going to go along with your order, sir? No, that's generally something they discourage, right? That's something that they don't want you to do. To walk with God means to obey his directions because he is the God who can be trusted. He is the God of blessing. He is God Almighty. And thus we should walk before him and be blameless. Even though Abraham didn't totally understand this covenant, it was a covenant offered to him that he might walk before God's face. And the sign of the covenant that was given to him has changed. I have a friend who preached on this text once, and someone wanted to come to know Jesus and thought that they had to be circumcised. Let me tell you, if you're a man in the room, that is not required of you, because we have different signs now. You see, this covenant was taken and has been transposed over by the New Testament. Jesus made a promise to us in the Gospel of Luke. That's why we're going to celebrate the Lord's table today. It's because when Jesus came onto this earth, he showed us what it meant to partner with God day by day, to walk blamelessly before God's face, to live coram Deo. How did he do that? He lived that filled with the Holy Spirit. He walked blamelessly before God as no one ever did. He was without sin. And because he was without sin, he was able to represent us, represent humanity before God perfectly. But he realized that we were not blameless, that all of us, the Bible says, have sinned. And so what Jesus said was, he said, first, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then after they had eaten, he took the cup. And this is what he says in the Gospel of Luke. He says, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Did you hear that language? This is the new covenant. This is the new partnership that we have going on. That I will give to you my grace and my forgiveness, and your sins will be covered. You'll be able to walk blamelessly before me. Greater than Abraham ever did, greater than Moses ever did, greater than any of the Old Testament saints. Why? Because you will have the Holy Spirit. Jesus invites us to come and to receive this sign of the covenant, this wedding ring, along with baptism, as a reminder that we are in the presence of God and will always walk before him. As a reminder that our lives belong to him. Just as circumcision reminded Abraham that he belonged to God, body and soul. He belonged to God in every possible way. That you and I belong to God in every possible way. That the God who gave himself body and soul for us expects nothing less of us, but that we would give ourselves body and soul to him, ready to serve him regardless of the cost. We are invited to live before God's face just as the saints of old did. I was reminded today is not just Remembrance Day, it is also the Feast of St. Martin. And if you haven't heard of St. Martin, don't worry. I hadn't heard of him either until this week as I was studying for this text. And as I was looking at his life, what was really interesting about Martin was that Martin was a Roman soldier. How appropriate on Remembrance Day that he was a Roman soldier, served in the Roman army. Some people say 3 years, some people say 30 years. There's a bit of confusion regarding the translation. Who knows? But he served in the Roman army for a long, long period of time. And we know that he served under a Roman emperor who wanted to take Rome back to paganism. So this is after Constantine, when Christianity was legalized in the Roman Empire. And so this emperor said, no, we're going to be pagans again. We want to bring Rome back to, we want to make Rome great again and go back to paganism. And so while he was doing this, Martin said this to this emperor. His name was Julian, known in history as Julian the Apostate. He says this, "I am Christ's soldier. I am not allowed to fight. I am Christ's soldier. I'm not allowed to fight." What is he saying there? He says, my partnership is with Jesus, not with you. My partnership is ultimately with Christ, and I am not ready nor willing to serve the state if it means going against my convictions. You see, as important as Remembrance Day is, and I am not a pacifist by any stretch of the imagination, but as important as Remembrance Day is, we need to recognize that there is something greater in our presence. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is our King. And ultimately, when we swear a covenant, when we come to this table and renew our covenant with Jesus, we are saying to Christ, I am a soldier of you and not of anyone else. And as we come before Christ this morning, are we ready and willing, as Martin was, to live before the face of God, to walk before God in every possible way? He was arrested for this. He was tried. He would later become a bishop. He thankfully got out of prison. But he was willing to give up whatever it cost to follow Jesus. Is that what we're willing to do? Are we willing to be as Abraham was? To look at our God Almighty and to walk before Him and to be blameless. That is the offer that God gives us through Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of our sins. Let's pray together. Jesus, what a privilege it is to be able to walk with You. And God, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion, to recognize the oath that we have made, that we belong to You. Father, I pray that we would have the faith of Abraham and that we would go beyond the faith of Abraham, that we would live in obedience to You, even in those moments where we mess up and where we fail. Lord, we know that we can walk before You because of what Jesus has done for us. Thank You so much for this promise. Thank You so much for the partnership that You offer us to walk before You and bring Your blessing to the world. God be with us as we continue in our service, we pray in Jesus' name.